And I just want to make mention off the top of our service here, hey, if you're a guest, you're visiting here today, my name is Pastor Brad Hofer. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Tim Stallman is our senior pastor, him and his wife, Kate. And man, I'll tell you what, they couldn't be here today, so they asked me to minister, which is truly an honor for me to be up here to minister the Word of God. But I just invite you, if you are visiting, this is your very first time, come on back and hear Pastor. You know, he's the man anointed for this work in this ministry, and he would certainly want to meet you and love on you. And man, I'll tell you what, his office that he stands in as the pastor, I mean, is just wonderful. He's a phenomenal teacher and pastor. And so praise the Lord. Again, it's been an honor for me to be up here, but you'll want to come back and meet them when they are here. So we just invite you to come on back. But praise the Lord. I'm excited for the Word. When you get excited for the Word is when it works for you. You know, it's interesting to me, but, you know, even in the last days, and we've seen some of this, and it's certainly trying to creep and crawl into the church. You know, one of the biggest battles in this end days is concerning Christians, concerning people in general, concerning this world. The battle for your attention. I appreciate, and you know, I know that, you know, some people, you know, you brought your Bibles and different things, and we have a lot of devices that help us out in that. So praise the Lord, use those tools for good things. But sometimes just coming to church for, you know, the 3 to 5 hours that we're here, come to church sometimes just sitting there without having your device going on, and maybe some of you do. I mean, hey, you know, you reverence God any way you want, and when the minister and everything is feeding you, you know, and prepared for you and prepared a meal for you, if you want to scroll, that's your deal. We're not here to criticize anybody that if they want to check Facebook and do all the things because nothing up here entertains you or has the glitz and glamour of the latest trend on your iDevice or anything. You just do what you want to do. But sometimes if we get into the position of putting our device away for a minute and we try to focus our attention on our Heavenly Father, you watch the fireworks that'll happen. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you give yourself an atmosphere to press into your Heavenly Father, He will be there. You remember the story of the prodigal son. Basically, he said, give me my inheritance. I got this. I'm going to do my thing. And he went and he squandered all his wealth and riotous living, the party lifestyle. He became the man in the world for a season until those finances dried up. That was the only thing he had was finances and no depth of root and anything else. So he came back and he thought, you know, he was in that position where he was eating, you know, with the swine, and he's like, me, back at my dad's house, at least the servants there are fed and they got leftovers. So it says that he came to himself. These devices are keeping a lot of people from coming to themselves because God created you for a specific purpose, and we're being diverted from that purpose through distraction. How do you know that? Because I'm in the same boat. Don't let me, you know, portray that somehow that I don't have a phone or a device that can, you know, put me on YouTube and in Facebook and all that other stuff, because, yeah, absolutely. But then again, how many hours upon hours are on the devices and TV, and all of a sudden, oh, man, I didn't turn my heart to the Lord today, or I didn't pray, or I didn't thank my Heavenly Father. Then all of a sudden, you need a coming back to yourself. But note this, he was in dire squanders, and God forbid that we are in a position where we're laying on the back looking at our feet, but oftentimes that can certainly happen. But it said that the Father saw him coming a ways off, and he ran to him. God was always in the position, as far as I've deviated from the purpose and plan for my life, the Heavenly Father is saying, hey, I'm still here in this position, and as far away as you are right now, I see you. I see you. And he ran as soon as this son of his came to his own senses, into his right mind, and came back. And I'm telling you that as far away sometimes as we feel we've deviated from God, where I don't even know what he's saying, I'm not living like I should, I'm not acting like I should, I'm not speaking like I should, the Father is still there, our covenant heavenly Father, being faithful to you through the love that he gave through Jesus Christ on your behalf, to position himself waiting for you to come back, waiting for you to make a decision, waiting for you to make a move. As soon as you do, he's running in your direction. He's not standing there with a big stick saying, yeah, I've been seeing what you've been doing. Come here so you can get a butt kicking. He's not saying that. That's not our Heavenly Father. When you get close to him, so here's the thing. This prodigal son lived like the devil on earth. Harlots, riotous living, drinking, boozing, party lifestyle. He comes back. He says, get my robe and put it on him. Take my ring and put it on his finger. You take the fatted calf, the best one that we got, and you feast this boy. He's looking a little malnourished because his lifestyle has put this scenario on him. So slay the fatted calf, let's have a party and feast. Why? Because he broke fellowship with me. He was gone and he was dead and now he is alive. The brother had other things to say concerning that, and you know this story. But it's not the material things that we so often chase to try to acquire and gather, thinking that that's going to create a better lifestyle or a better comfort, if you will, in the things of this earth, in material possessions. He said, take the best that I got. What do you need? Because this pales in comparison to my heart's compassion for fellowship back with you. What do you want? You want a car? You want a house? What is it you want? Take it. Give me my fellowship back. Give me my fellowship back. The Father, depending on how far we've been separated from him, wants fellowship back with you. And I don't know how far you feel like you've walked away from God, how backslid you think you are, and hey, I deserve a level of defeat because you don't know what I've been doing. I don't know what you've been doing, but I know what Jesus did, and I know that 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross, and every single sin, sickness and disease, mental anxiety is under his feet and is now under your feet. So you just make movement. You just make movement to do something that you didn't do before, to start heading in his direction, and he will meet you there. These devices and things are trying to keep us from getting back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we're fellowshipping more with a device than we are with our Heavenly Father. Let me just tell him myself, but it's time to start stepping some things up. There's nothing more important. Material things. You think God, okay, we took up tithes and offerings, our most holy thing, that is right to do to honor our Lord. You think he needs your money? You think there's something that you have, well, let me build my enterprise, and that would somehow, hey, use that as a tool to glorify him. Don't do it apart from fellowship. Because fellowship with our Heavenly Father is what makes you rich. You want to see a rich person, they can hear the voice of God in their lives. That's what makes you rich. So your pursuit isn't for things. Your pursuit isn't for a better, greener grass lifestyle. The pursuit is fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I'm going to apply my effort to get closer to my Heavenly Father. Are you here today? This was not at all scripted or planned to say these things. I'm saying these because it's helping somebody. Hey, man, we've all been on our backs with our feet up. And it's not about where you come from or your upbringing. Because if you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you're of a new family now. And you have a Father that loves you that no earthly father can love you. Matthew 7:7, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Heavenly Father shall give good gifts unto those that ask him. He says, you being evil, your love being evil compared to his, know how to give good gifts. And I'll tell you what, pastor says it all the time. He wouldn't give an eyelash. I'd give an eyelash or a hair for somebody. Let's be real with everything. I wouldn't take one hair off my kid's head for anybody. You wouldn't give me one hair? You know what I mean? I'd give him a hair. I mean, we could take a razor to a few heads down here and give you a hair, of course. But you know what I'm saying. You would, for people that have children, there's no greater love than a parent to a child. You would tear up the earth for your kids. You would slay a giant. You would swim a lake. You would, whatever it takes, you would do it on behalf of your kids. How much more, Heavenly Father? Yeah, that dedication and responsibility you have with your kids is evil compared to the love of the Heavenly Father, why he gave Jesus. There's the sacrifice. There's not just the hair off one's head. If there was another option or another way, he would have done it perhaps. But he said there's only one that can suffice the sacrifice needed to bring my people back into fellowship with me, Jesus. You're going to have to step up. So imagine the magnitude of God's love. Ours being evil, so we're down here, and as much as we have compassion and love for our family and our children, his is up here, and he still made the decision to give his child. Can you imagine the I don't even know if it's the repercussion. Can you imagine the depths of greater sacrifice based on his understanding of what truly love is, because God is love? Can you understand the depth of sacrifice? This means nothing to me per se. Let me just say, the Bible and the Word of God means everything to me, but I can get another one of these. My kids, I cannot. So it's easy for me to give this. Here, I got some paper in here. I can gladly give this to somebody. That's easy for me to do. But when it comes to my children, we just up the ante to the place of my life first. Understood. Can you understand the magnitude of God's understanding of love in comparison that he gave Jesus for you? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were the boozers, while we were the partiers, while we were the promiscuous, while we were the backslidden, he said, Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read these verses, because you don't have to turn there if you don't necessarily choose. In verse 4 in the Amplified, it says, but God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. But God, so rich in verse 4 in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. When you were sinners, in other words, there's nothing right now because of Jesus Christ. God is seated at the throne. Everything has already been established. It is finished on your behalf. Your redemption, your salvation, your sickness and disease being healed, your finances being provided for. Everything has been established through Jesus Christ. But before this, it says that in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love that he had for us, he gave Jesus. So if there was anything that could make God, so to speak, stir crazy, because something has to be done, because love will not permit this in me, God being love, that all of a sudden, up off the throne and pacing, because something has to be done, I'm not going to rest, not that he has to, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to slumber, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to say anything until I can deal with this intense love that I have for my people. Jesus, you need to go. The intense love that he has on your behalf and for you is that kind of love. If it could keep him up at night, it would. Figuratively, God never slumbers or sleeps. We can relate to this because we are human beings. And I'm trying to paint this picture. but in order to satisfy his great intense love, that while we were slain in our shortcomings, while we were the drunks, while we were the boozers, while we were the partiers, while we were the promiscuous, while we were the backslidden, he still says, I have such a burning love on the inside of me that I have to. I can't go any further. I have to send Jesus on their behalf. Not only that, it goes on to say, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Jesus Christ. I love that. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, that unmerited favor, kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, you're going to do this. Why? Because in the ages to come, everybody needs to know this love that I have for you. They need to have an understanding that I have to do this to satisfy that intense compassion and love that I have for my people. And they need to know this, that the people that are dying and lost out in this world needs to know that I gave you the best thing that I ever had because I love them so much that I have to act. I have to do something for them. So that in the ages to come, people would recognize and see this. You're here today because many of us are born again. Many of us are saved. How many people out there that are footballing, tailgating, drinking, doing what they're wanting to do right now that need Jesus, they need to know this great and intense love. They think God is some dictator of rules and regulations apart and have separated from the love. They think that, hey, I'm so far gone right now in my fortified sin nature lifestyle that I don't know the one who sees me afar off and comes running to get back in fellowship with me. I don't know that God. All I know is I go in for an hour, 2 hours on a Sunday, and I sit in a cranky old rotty church, listen to all the things that I can't do, separated from fellowship. The fellowship should be 98-99% of our week when we come in here for 2 hours, 1 or 2 hours, and all of a sudden this is a chore for us. Now, I get it. I'm just speaking raw here. Let me just flow a little bit. I get it. There's some churches that are not worth going to because they're a detriment to the body of Christ because they've gotten off into wrong teaching and wrong doctrine. They're more like the VFW than they are church. Well, Sundays, I've done it. And I'll tell you what, praise God. I mean, we got some, you know, good older elders in the church, and they're representing and stuff. But I'm telling you what, I've been to places before where, man, you know, they've been there for the last 60 years, and, man, you can't tell them nothing. You could show them the Word of God, revelation inside and out. Well, don't you teach us? No, no, no. But I'm going to that church. They love that church more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Tradition, they have no idea of the revelation. They don't know the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm not condemning them if they're born again. They've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. But there's more for us. There's more for us because why? Because in the ages to come, they need to see the love of God in you. That is our response. Well, no. I'll just come and do, let me be me. You know, I got my own life. Yeah, you're right, you do. But someone else might be dependent on you. That's how the body of Christ works. We all have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So you remember that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Well, I'm not a minister. I don't have any credentials. No, if you are born again in a new creation, you enter the ministry. Amen. And somebody needs it. Yeah. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to put your eye device down for a little while and hear the voice of the Lord so that you can speak life into a situation, speak life into a family or a colleague, an acquaintance. They need you to put that device down so that you can hear the word of the Lord, get in the word or the gospel so that you can have true power and speak truth to liberate people. Man, if he can only get our attentions back. And I'm speaking that proverbially. I'm not targeting anybody in here. I'm just saying this is where we've come. These devices that we have think for us. They do our shopping for us. We don't have to talk to anybody. We don't have to be anywhere. Just dial it right up and hey, let it. If it saves time and you're using that as a tool, praise God. Just don't get your priorities mixed up. But I'm just saying, as a norm right now, everybody's having their devices do everything and they're becoming social misfits because they can't communicate intelligibly. And, you know, they're combating this generation coming up for the fact that, you know, some of the fast food places and stuff they are. And it's like, man, they're making it pretty streamlined right now. But why does it take 4 hours to get a cup of coffee up in her? You know what I mean? And it's these kids, and it's like, hey, work ethic is good. But you know what? There's some things that your phone can't do where I'm going to physically need to speak to you. And you're physically going to have to go get that cup of coffee. You can't be like, well, How do I get my cup of coffee? How do I get the cup of coffee? You know what was weird? Let's just talk. There was I forget what I did. I paid cash for something. I know, look out. Paid cash for something. And there was an older woman that was there. I paid cash for something, and she counted the change back to me. I said, Let me sit down. I said, what? I said, you counted the change back to me? She's like, I go, that is a lost art right now. I'll tell you how I know. One time I went through McDonald's and I got whatever I got. And it was, say, $5.58. So I gave $5.60. Oh. They were freaking out because the computer was down, the register was down. So another one came by, and she said it was $5.58. He gave me $5.60. You know what the other one said? Remember, you can use your phone. I said, you keep the 2 cents. I don't want you tripping up right now, ruining your day, because you can't go up here to figure out change. The work had been eliminated because the work was being done by the device. Now, let me specify some things. I don't even know where we're going today. Let's just talk for a little bit. Praise God that if we're dealing with certain ailments, you seek medical attention and medical help. We cooperate with that because it promotes health. And I'm not saying that all medical practice is legit. You need to be releasing your faith with those things. But somehow, the faith without works being dead, the works side of everything has been eliminated. Because many people have a pill mentality. Give me a pill and let the pill do the work so I don't have to. I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to get adequate sleep and rest. Give me a pill so I can keep moving at this level. Watch it. Watch it. Give me a pill to do the work to keep me moving at this capacity. Like there's not going to be some repercussions with that. When the Bible clearly says to rest, don't put things in your body that are nonstop junk. I'm not saying, hey, this is Thanksgiving week. I'm not clobbering anybody because the apple pie was real good, especially if you bake it. Okay. So the kids go to CCA. So we got the pumpkin roll and the pie for the PTA. So my parents got a pumpkin roll and a pie. So we too got a pumpkin roll and a pie. So my parents had it, they had theirs, and so it was Thanksgiving. It wasn't a Thanksgiving, we came over. So the pumpkin roll, man, you just unroll that thing, you just start going to town. So the pie, however, we got this pie out. We're like, man, this thing looks beautiful. My dad and I cut a couple good slices of that pie. So we're hammering it. We're like, man, this is really good. This has got a really good flavor, but the crust is a little doughy. Well, there were instructions on there that said heat the oven to 450, bake for an hour. Oh, no. Oh, no. We muscled through that. We muscled through that. I don't know what happened. The fact that we didn't bake it, or we ate it so fast there was no time to bake it, you know, like, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, man. We'll touch base in the morning, make sure we're still upright after that. But it was good. We were fine. So then we had to bake it. So we'll have to remember that for this other pie that we have. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with all that. But praise the Lord. Where was I? I have no idea where I was. Yeah, so the discipline in the eating. So Thanksgiving week. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So we have to be stewards of our body. Paul says, I do nothing to frustrate the grace of God. So in other words, yeah, you're believing God for healing in your body, but you're eating like garbage, you're not sleeping, you're not resting. You're frustrating the grace by your natural activity. And I know that in this American diet, in this American culture, we don't like the word diet because it requires discipline on your behalf. And we don't like that word discipline. In other words, I got enough hardship in this world on a day-to-day basis. I don't need another thing that's coaching me here and putting me down. Well, you better embrace some of those things because Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. The repercussions of giving into that are devastating, but through the health provided before you comes the endurance because Jesus despising the shame, it said that he endured the cross despising the shame. And so we see that some of those things are vital and necessary that you put the flesh under and embrace those disciplines in our life. So anyway, praise God. We're just having a little chat here this morning. But some of us need to put some of those things down and protect our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, putting some of those things down of the flesh so we're not so device-oriented in today's day and age. So praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word a little bit. What we have here, I got another 2 or 3 hours that I can minister, so I'm grateful for the time that we have so we can start the message. And praise God, we should be done in time for kickoff with the Bills this afternoon. But praise the Lord, I'm joking with you. The people that are new here is like, man, how long we already been here? Well, just like the Word for a minute and we'll be dismissed. I see the sun's trying to come out, so hey, praise the Lord. If I'm blinded here in a minute, I'll have the ushers do something about that. But in Romans chapter 4, we talk about Abraham. And it's been so rich what pastor's been ministering along the lines of faithful Abraham. And he's been talking about the covenant relationship that God had with Abraham. And I absolutely love how pastor's been ministering along those lines. And he is the father of many nations. And we are in the lineage of faithful Abraham, because through him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. And so we are here in the flesh because of Abraham. Praise the Lord. And in Romans 4, I just want to look at a few things in the Amplified that I'm just trusting will help us because, like I said, over the course of the last number of weeks, pastor's been ministering in this passage. But let's pull some of these things out here. And I like what it says in verse 16 in the Amplified. It says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all the descendants who are us, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who shared the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. So he's talking about Father Abraham, the father of us all, but those that share in the faith. So you, as descendants of Abraham, share in the faith. What faith are we talking about? Well, let's find out. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. I like in the King James, it says, he calleth those things which be not as though they were. there's the identified God kind of faith in reference here in this passage. Because he says, God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. He calls those non-existent things as though they had already happened. So Abram, 75 years old, God said to him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Who you talking to? You pointing at me? I'm 75 years old. Naturally speaking, this ship sailed years ago. And you're telling me that I'm going to be the father of many nations. So you remember, as time had gone on, Abram became Abraham. Abraham means father of nations or father of a multitude. That's what Abraham means. So he addressed Abraham from that point as the father of nations. Why? Because he's speaking in how he addressed Abraham. God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. So from that point on, I'm addressing you by what I said. Well, God, I'm 75 years old. I'm addressing you by what I said, not by what your body's showing, not by what you've been through, not by your skill level, not by how much exercise you've done. I don't care what pill you're taking to try to fortify yourself to have a kid at this time. I'm addressing you by what I said. And I'm speaking and addressing you by the non-existent things as though they already were. So in other words, our conversation, if you want to talk to me on this level, you're going to address yourself as Abraham. Because as far as I see it, you're the father of many nations. That's why Pastor, he says, when he was at that funeral and he talked to that dude, he didn't speak the same language. He didn't speak the covenant language of God. Pastor, when he was there, he started talking about a Ford pickup truck. And all of a sudden, this dude's like, oh, my goodness, you got a Ford pickup truck? And that's language that's beyond me. I'm not a mechanic. I can put the gas in. I can change some oil. I might be able to do a few things. But I'll tell you what, you don't want me under your hood or anything like that. So praise God. But he was addressing Abraham by what he said. I've called you the father of many nations. I'm speaking of the non-existent things as though they have already happened. Why? I see it. I see it happening down the road in the future. Abraham, you can't. Don't stymie and try to correct me by your unbelief in what you can or cannot have based on your circumstance. God, supreme being of heaven and earth, gave his word. That's it. That settles it. So if you want to come up and speak to me on this level, we can go someplace. And it took him 25 years to become fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said. He told him that. See, oftentimes in the Christian, we operate under the same guise of faith. You need to speak those things that be not as though they were in your life. What's lacking? See, oftentimes Christians, they speak the things that are as though they are not. That's not what the word says. People come down with symptoms. Well, I'm not sick, because they think that they're in faith. No, you're sick. You better rest. They try to speak those things that are as though they are not. No, you need to say, symptoms are on me. Health comes in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. So health is working. The power of God's working on the inside of me. The power of God is working in my finances. Opportunities are coming to me. I'm speaking of the non-existent things as though they were, based upon the scripture and the word that I see. That's how God operates. That's how God operates. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 11. You know, remember the faith passage. Praise God for Brother Hagin. In Matthew or Mark 11, in verse 12, we'll go back to the King James. And it says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And I know we have some newer people. Let me just preface what this passage is talking about. And the fig tree, when a fig tree has leaves, it also has figs. Like, we have trees here and they grow the leaves, and then like the acorns come, or the different types of nuts or berries or something grows later. But when fig trees have leaves, they also have the fruit of the figs. So Jesus, went up to see this fig tree, and there were leaves on it. And when he went to get something because he was hungry, there were no figs on it. So he responds, and seeing a fig tree far off, in verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So Jesus spoke to this fig tree, and the disciples heard what he said. In verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. So here they are. He spoke to this fig tree. The next day they come by, the disciples were dumbfounded. They were like, yo, this thing dried up from the roots. And Jesus said, have the faith of God. He cursed that thing because this was the wrong representation of the provision of the Heavenly Father. Jesus, when he came to earth, remember, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh, or at your disposal. This was contrary to heaven's operation. When there's leaves, there should be figs. This tree told me last night that I don't have a supply. And because this tree told me I don't have a supply, I had to deal with it. And I had to speak those things that be not as though they were. So I cursed that thing and I left. I cursed that thing. Nothing happened. Didn't look like anything happened till the next day. This thing dried up from the roots. Yeah, were you surprised by that? He was moving in the faith of God because he told the disciples, he said, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith as God has it. Have the faith that calls those things that be not as though they were. You need to operate under this. He goes on to say, and you know, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That's how the God kind of move. I spoke to this tree. You heard words coming out of me, because the Bible recorded they heard him. And when it was dried up, you were dumbfounded. You need to have the God kind of faith, because that's how this whole system operates. And you need to take whatever you're dealing with in your life, find out what God says about that, and start speaking those things that be not as though they were. Speaking those things that haven't manifested yet in your life as though they were, because as far as God's concerned, through Jesus Christ, he sees you entire, whole, lacking nothing. He sees you healed in your body. He sees you living a long life here on this earth. He sees you with no mental anxiety or anguish or worry. He sees you far from all those things, and there's a supply for it. If you're dealing with those things, that's not an attack on you. Just open your mouth and start speaking the way that God speaks. That's not an attack on anybody, because Jesus, he said, have the God kind of faith. Don't tell me to have something I cannot have. Don't tell me to have something that is unattainable for me. But since you said that I can have the God kind of faith, okay, I got you. Let me speak your language. Let me come up and see how God operates and speak his language in faith, speaking those things that be not as though they were. You have to understand that there's a supply that we have. And Pastor said one thing last week. He said, we're not need chasers. You need to have a supply mindset. Whatever you're dealing with, hey, you know what? I'm ailing body. There's a supply for that. Hey, if there's a need financially, there's a supply for that. If you're needing peace and quiet and rest, there's a supply for that. You got to give yourself to that. You need to speak those things into manifestation. That's what you've been given. We'll do everything we can to rely on the arm of the flesh to make these things happen, and we're ending up short. And you're exhausting yourself trying to gain that extra money, trying to gain that extra clarity, trying to gain that extra energy. You're exhausting yourself in doing that. You need to do what he said and speak those things that be not. Health comes to my body in Jesus' name. He gives long life to me in Jesus' name. With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. You need to speak these things. Worry and anxiety, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that peace belongs to me. That's a fruit of the Spirit on the inside of me. You need to speak those things that be not as though they were, like, oh, I don't have anxiety. Well, quit biting your nails then. You know what I mean? You got to deal. We're all dealing with stuff, but we need the answers that he's given us. They said, Jesus, this thing, just like you said, this thing dried up. Have the God kind of faith. Jesus, after he cursed that tree, I was wondering, did he go that evening and was he tossing in bed? Oh man, I hope something happened to that tree. I spoke to it, and you know what I mean? They came back and he said immediately, I know how this works. Have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what are you saying? I remember Dr. Dufresne would be in here. He would grab his microphone. We had the TV prompters right here on the stage and stuff. He's like, what are you saying? And he'd hold the microphone up to the scripture. Nothing. I don't hear anything. Yeah, because you need to put the word of God in your mouth and you need to speak that till that thing manifests and change. There was a season. Maybe it took 25 years for Abraham to become fully persuaded, but he got there. Every time he went, hey, there's Abraham. Hey, Abram. No, it's Abraham. Oh, my bad. Abraham, can you come over and help me? Can you come over? Hey, Abram. No, it's Abraham, father of many nations. When you start speaking God's language, all of a sudden he performs that word which he gave through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on your behalf. He manifests that thing because you become fully persuaded and you're now moving at his level. Your faith and the substance of your faith has made way where that thing manifests to you. We need to have a supply mindset. For the sake of time, let's jump over there. This is the other thing I'm going to bless us with in this transitional time. In Philippians, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. You have to have that supply mindset. And you're well familiar with this passage, and we use it during tithes and offerings. But I like what Paul says in verse 11, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, man, that right there. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, my conversation isn't dictated by the need that I have. Yeah, there's nothing in my wallet. Yeah, I'm hungry. You won't hear that out of my mouth because the word says that I have a full supply and that all my needs, as we go on to say, are according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I'm not speaking in respect of want. My circumstance is not coming out of my mouth right now. I'm not speaking based on this current temporary situation or circumstance that I'm going through. He says, I've learned therewith to be content. Man, we can learn something from that. Out in the middle of the storm of your life, you're just sitting there. What's up? Cool as a cucumber. What are you dealing with? Why can you say that? Beginning of a couple verses up, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known unto God. Don't have any anxiety or care about anything. Anything. Anything that you made. Any screw up that you made. I got myself in this mess, therefore I deserve a level of defeat. Well, there is a principle of sowing and reaping, but I'm telling you what, anything. You make the turn to get back into fellowship with your Heavenly Father, I don't have to fret or worry about anything. Abraham, 25 years, nothing naturally he could do to have a kid at 75 years, 100 years by the time Isaac came. What do you want me to do? Miss a meal? Thinking that that's somehow going to help? God, this is on you. I'm just going to come into agreement with what you said. And I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were. And I'm going to rejoice in the fact that this is what you said. But as far as naturally, I've exhausted all options physically. We all know about the Hagar situation. We won't talk about that right now. He's exhausted all physical options. There's nothing more I can do. So it puts me at your whim to manifest what you said you would do. I would have done it if I could have done something to try to help this along. I'm going to not have any fret, anxiety, or care or worry about anything. God, this is on you. If you're not big enough to put it over, that's your deal. Now, that sounds pretty rash and pretty bold, but that's the confidence that you have to have in the word of your Heavenly Father. And so oftentimes we try to hold on to those things, and he can't. 1 Peter, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, it was interesting, as our Heavenly Father, sometimes we can get glimpses of different things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all in him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So see, God took upon him the responsibility of his word. He gave Jesus Christ on your behalf, that in order for his word to not manifest in your lives, he would have to cease to exist to be God. The other day, it was Wednesday, so Steph went to the gym, and afterwards she called. She says, hey, I'm going through Tim Hortons. Got to have some Tim Hortons even first thing in the morning. She says, does anybody want anything? So I said, yeah, I'll take, you know, a coffee. Aaron gets a vanilla dip donut, breakfast of champions, and Amelia likes her chocolate chunk cookie. Got to have that to start off the day. Well, this is treat. This isn't breakfast every day, so just don't be hating on me right now, especially after all that health talk that we were just talking before. So now I need to repent. But anyway, so at this time in the morning, they still bake. Well, praise God for Tim Hortons, and they bake stuff every day. You know, they had the donut. They did not have the chocolate chunk cookie. So Steph came back, said, I'm sorry. They hadn't baked them yet. So Amelia's like, I wanted a cookie. I said, girl, I'll get you a cookie. So later on in the afternoon, or in the morning, mid-morning, I went down to Brooklyn Square, and I went in and I got a chocolate chunk cookie. But she had said sometimes, she said, you know, I want that cookie as the morning went on. It's like, oh man, I want that cookie. What if she was like, oh, Dad, are you going to get me that cookie? Yeah, girl, I said, are you going to go to Tim Hortons? Are you going to get that? You better knock that junk off, because the integrity of my word is being questioned in you right now. And as your father, if I tell you I'm going to get that cookie, come hell or high water, I will come back with that cookie. How much more our Heavenly Father? And that's the way it is. And these symptoms of my body, you better knock that junk off. Because he gave his son Jesus Christ so that you could have that. And by not speaking his language, you're putting him on trial, like he's not going to perform what he said. And that's the way it was. Casting the whole of your cares on him once and for all, for he cares about you. And it's interesting because it says that he cares about you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Affectionately means in a way that displays fondness or tenderness. That's our God, our Heavenly Father. Tenderness, kindness, not like, you're going to get smacked. What, don't you know I gave Jesus? Don't you know I gave my son? No. To love you. Yes. As humans, you know, we like to jerk the slack out of our kids sometimes, you know, have to be stern. Our gracious Heavenly Father, affectionately, watchfully, paying close attention, alert, just like that prodigal. A ways off. I'm alert. I'm attentive. Your well-being is greatest of concern to me. And if you're suffering, I've got this for you. Call those things that be not as though they were. I need to get this into your life. If you're holding on to that care, cast it. Cast that care, because if you got it, I don't have it, God's saying. You need to turn that over to me so that I can be a performer of my word on your behalf. I'm watchful about this. I'm affectionate about this. I'm all up in your business about this. I want my highest and best in your life. That's why I gave Jesus. I want to see this in your life. That's what we have to do. Cast it. Abraham, 25 years. This isn't my deal. I'm casting it on you. And as bold, I remember Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He had made mention to, he has Rhema Bible Training Center, and he was doing a student development center. And there was a minister that he was showing as he was building this second building. So you can imagine, even in today's, all the carpenters and stuff like that, you know that the cost of materials and everything is through the roof right now. Even back then, so to build a structure, I mean, it's probably millions of dollars. So he was with another minister, and he was showing him what the Lord had showed him to do. And the minister said, you might have heard me say this before, the minister said to him, he's like, oh man, you must carry a heavy load having to believe for all this. He's like, I don't carry a heavy load. He's like, I didn't want to do it. I'll shut this down right now. This isn't my care. I'm not missing a meal. I'm not praying and fasting. I'm not going to bed biting my nails, wonder if it's going to. He told me to do it. If he can't do it, then it's on him, not on me. I'll shut it down right now. Never wanted to do it to begin with. See, there's a boldness of resting in God. This is what your word said. See, he was fully persuaded. Like, why worry? No gray hairs extra coming on my head wondering how this is going to, I'm not going to lose sleep. There's a rest in God when we've ceased from our human labors, as pastors shared, and now all of a sudden it's submitted to God. All my cares are on you. I know naturally I can't create healing in my body. I can cooperate with it. I'll do my part. But God, ultimately, it's your power and by the stripes of Jesus that's working in me. So I'm going to line up those things that be not as though they were in my body right now with the words that I speak. God's like, affectionately, carefully, yes, that's right. Have the God kind of faith. I don't know if you were helped here today. We went different directions, but I just trust the word's been a blessing and a help to you. It's helped me. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you that, Father, we're not left abandoned. We're not left helpless. That, Father, we have the God kind of faith on the inside of us. Through the covenant that we have with Abraham that you established thousands and thousands of years ago, Father, we are the fruit of the faithfulness of the covenant that you established, that you are always a performer of your word. You would not lie. You would not say something and not have it come to pass, but all of your integrity is established on the words that you speak. And you solidified it through your son, Jesus Christ, that we could be supply-minded and not need-minded. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe in an attitude of prayer, maybe you're here today and you hear a message like this and you're like, man, he was talking a lot of stuff. But maybe you need to know what the very first step is. Man, I'm telling you what, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to do that. This isn't some kind of family church doctrine or anything like that, or some kind of method in that this church is what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you pass from this earth and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, that you would be separated from him eternally in a place called hell. Man, I don't know why anyone would want to do that when he gave Jesus, like we read in the scriptures, in order to satisfy that intense love that he has for you. He gave Jesus his son for you. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to send anybody. But right there in your seat, I want to pray for you. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down so I know who I'm praying for. And if you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, can you just be so bold as to lift your hand? As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. We're all praying together. Is there anybody here you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is there anyone? I'm telling you, I often ask people, it's like, hey, if you were to die today, do you know you would go to heaven? Well, I think so. I'm telling you, be sure. Be sure. It's so easy. It's simply asking Jesus to be your Lord. Is there anybody that needs to accept Jesus? Father, I don't see any hands, so I just trust we're all in fellowship with you. We're all born again. But Father, I just pray if there's anybody here or watching by live stream that hasn't accepted Jesus, I pray that, Father, laborers be sent across their paths to minister the truth unto him, and that they would not depart from this life until they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. We're your help here today. Kind of a splatter barrel message, but why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's love on him a minute before we dismiss. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. We leave changed here today. We leave doers of your word, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.